If you have your Bibles this evening, please turn to Luke chapter 7. And we are, of course, continuing to go through Wednesday night snapshots, talking about the men and the women found in the New Testament. And tonight, we are discussing another unnamed person. Many of these people that we talk about, some of them we know very well. We know about Peter and Paul, and we know about the mother of Jesus, Mary. But others, maybe we just find them once in Scripture. We've seen that several times, and tonight is another example of that. Here in Luke chapter 7, Jesus is continuing in his ministry. He's fairly still early in his ministry here. His momentum is building. The word of this Messiah is still spreading in Galilee and the surrounding area. And we're going to see something very interesting tonight. We're going to see Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's home. And we actually see this Pharisee, his name, which normally they're unnamed. The Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders. But this man, his name is Simon. Now, this isn't to be confused with Simon Peter. But this man, he invited Jesus to his home. Now, when we talk about a dinner, normally it's only the people that you invite to come to that dinner. But in this culture, it's a little different. Most likely, this dinner was outside in a corridor. And people, when they knew that a local leader, which this man, Simon the Pharisee, was a local leader. He was a religious leader. Everyone knew he was. When he would have an important person come over, then other people would most likely line up around that area and they'd want to people watch. They would want to hear the discussion. And so most likely there was other people around this open corridor trying to listen to see the discussion between this leading Pharisee, Simon, and Jesus the Messiah. So we don't know for sure the intentions of the Pharisee, but from this text that we're going to read tonight in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36, we can see most likely, like most Pharisees, they're trying to catch Jesus in a lie. They're trying to catch Jesus exposing himself as a false teacher. So if you have Luke chapter 7, verse 36, I'd ask you to stand in honor of reading God's word tonight. And we're going to read verses 36 through 50 this evening. Beginning in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, the word of God says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' So he said, 'Teacher, say it.' There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Bow with me. Dear Lord, Father, tonight, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Speak to us, Father. We ask this in your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The focus of tonight is on this unnamed woman. Even though Simon the Pharisee is the host, it's this woman that fascinates me. This is one of my favorite texts that we find in the Gospel of Luke. And of course, verse 36, it kind of gives us the setting. Jesus is going to Simon's house for this meal, and yet, beginning in verse 37, we see this woman enter the scene. And this is very interesting. I mean, this woman is fascinating. Now, clearly, Simon knew who she was. And not only Simon, but most likely everyone there knew who she was. And she had a reputation of being a sinner, a great sinner, which we'll talk about that here in a moment. Now, a lot of Bible scholars have guessed at this woman's reputation. We don't know for sure. Clearly, she was seen as someone who was a social outcast. Some people would dare say that this woman might have been a woman of the night, a prostitute. Maybe she was someone who had relationships with different people. We don't know for sure, but what we know is that when she came into this dinner, everyone's attention was on her. Now, here's what's interesting. Simon, as a host, had the authority to say, "Listen, woman, I want you to leave. I don't want you to stay here." He could have removed her, but he didn't. And I believe the reason that Jesus did not remove this woman, or excuse me, Simon didn't remove this woman, is because Simon wanted to see what Jesus would do. Everyone treated her like she was a leper. She wasn't physically a leper, but spiritually she might have been the same thing. Everyone treated her in that way. And yet, Simon the Pharisee wanted to see, what would this self-proclaimed Messiah do? How will Jesus treat this woman? And we see before Jesus says a word to her, we see her actions here in verse 37 and verse 38. I want us to see this carefully. The Bible tells us that this woman came to Jesus. Jesus was reclining at the table, and she takes this oil. She stood at the feet of Jesus behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, this evening, I want us to be honest. If tonight, if I took off my boots, if I took off my socks, and if someone, and no one is brave enough to do this, and I hope you aren't, but if someone came up here and began to cleanse my feet, you would not forget this service. You would remember the night that someone cleaned Brother Tyler's feet. Why? Because it would be strange. It would be different. But do you know that actually, even though it was different, even though it was strange, and I promise you, no one forgot this scene. I mean, Jesus is here at dinner, and this woman comes, and she's crying, and she's weeping. And I don't know about you, but there's a difference between crying and ugly crying. And when I read this scripture, I don't think this woman was gently crying. I think she was very emotional. I think she was crying very, very hard. And she saw Jesus, and the Bible says she went, and her tears covered his feet, and she began to wipe his feet with her hair. I mean, think about that. Think about the image that must have had. And all of these religious people, all these powerful people, they saw this. First, they knew her reputation. Second, she was doing something strange to them. And can you imagine the thoughts going through their mind? This freak. This outcast. Why would she do this? And I'm sure the religious people judged her for what she did. But here's what we need to understand tonight. Her actions were not motivated by attention. Her actions were not motivated selfishly. Her actions, the Bible clearly illustrates, was pure worship. Was it outside of the norm? Yes. Would it be different for you and I? Yes. But it was worship. Now, sometimes if I'm not careful, I am quick to judge other people. And if a person worships different than me, maybe they might raise their hand, or maybe they might begin to speak during worship, or maybe they do something different. It's easy for me to think, well, that person's just doing it for a show. That person's trying to get attention. That person is doing something for other reasons. Where, honestly, I don't know why they're doing it. And guess what? If they're doing it in the name of worship, it doesn't matter what I think. Because worship is between God and them. And so here in this moment, what we see is this odd, strange scene with this woman cleaning the feet of Jesus. Even though everyone had a preconceived notion, in the eyes of Jesus, this woman's actions were pure. Why? Because she was worshiping her Lord. It's easy for me to think I know what's right and wrong. It's easy for me to condition worship in such a way where if you stand here, if you sit here, and you don't get too loud, but you get a little loud, you do all these things, and it's easy to make a game plan for worship. But do you know that sometimes when the Spirit takes over, guess what? Game plans should go out the window. Now, I'm a planner, and that means when the plan goes off the tracks, it's hard for me. There are people who are naturally, man, they just like to fly by see their pants. And I respect those people, but I don't understand them. My mind doesn't work like that. I like to know what's coming. And often, God wants me to get off of my schedule. God wants me to get off of what I'm used to. And what we see here is we see this woman outside the norm, outside the box, if you will. She was worshiping Jesus. She was doing it in a strange way to many. But the Bible says that she was worshiping. Now, I want you to remember that image that the Bible describes. Her on her knees, with her tears and with her hair, kissing the feet of Jesus. Now, this takes place in the Middle East. Jesus' feet, they're dirty. They're dusty. And you might think, well, Tyler, I don't care if it was the Prince of England. I wouldn't touch anyone's nasty feet. Do you know we claim to be followers of Jesus? And yet there are days where I'm so prideful, I don't know if I'd get on my knees and wash the feet of Jesus. Sometimes I'm so prideful, it's easy to think that things are beneath me. You know, when I first got married, I learned something quickly about my relationship between my wife and I. I don't like to be touched. I'm not a very physical person. I'm not a big hugger. I don't like that. Since we've been married, Amber has convinced me to get a massage one time. It'll probably be my last time. It was strange. I couldn't enjoy it. I mean, I didn't know this person. They didn't know me. They were rubbing my shoulders. It was just a very uncomfortable situation. And no offense, but with 98% of the world's population, I am not comfortable with a whole lot of contact. But when my wife wants to come and give me a hug, and by the way, I am a hugger a little bit, so I don't think that I won't hug you, but when it comes to a massage or when it comes to an embrace, it's different with my wife. Why? Because there's trust there. Because there's a relationship there. In the same way, shouldn't we have that with Jesus? I mean, shouldn't we have, if we say he's our Lord and Savior, if we say that he died for us, if we say that we would do anything for him, then man, shouldn't we be on our knees quicker than anyone to wash his feet? And yet there are people who probably claimed to be followers of Jesus, and yet only one person was washing the feet of Jesus. I say that to say this, There's a difference between saying I'm a server and actually serving. It's easy to say we have a servant's heart. But I've often learned it's not the ones who say that they'll serve, it's the one who will serve. This woman did not give a big speech. The Bible says she simply went and she worshiped the Lord. The second thing I want us to see tonight is the Pharisee. Here in verse 39, we see that this man who would be named Simon, he said in his own heart, not out loud, but in his own heart, referring to Jesus, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Now, this is why I struggle with believing that he actually believed in Jesus Christ, because he was looking for an excuse. Simon the Pharisee was looking for a reason not to trust in Jesus. And when Jesus allowed this woman to touch him and to cleanse his feet, Simon the Pharisee said, "I knew he wasn't the Messiah. I knew he wasn't a prophet. I knew he wasn't sent by God, because if he was holy, he would not allow a dirty, nasty sinner to touch him." Now, I want you to understand something with me tonight. This man was recognized as a leader. This man, Simon the Pharisee, was recognized as a religious elite. And the thought of that day is if you were an open sinner, which means you have a reputation, then you did not come to the religious folks. You stayed in your corner. You were an outcast. You didn't enter a religious place. Let's get personal for a moment. In 2024 Arkansas, is it the same way sometimes? I would dare say it is. Oh, I want that family in the church. They're a beautiful family. They have power. They have position. They have an image. I want them in my church. Well, what about this family? Oh, no. Whew, they have a reputation. Everybody knows their problems. I don't think they need to be here. See, the truth is, it's easy to pick and choose. It's easy to say, I want this person, but I don't want that person. And what we see with Scripture is Jesus never chose people based upon their reputations. He chose them simply by this: if they followed him. If they followed him, they became the family of Jesus. Didn't matter their background. Didn't matter their reputation. In the eyes of Simon the Pharisee, because of this woman's negative reputation, a reputation she probably earned, she could not be accepted with the religious. And yet, Jesus did not deny her. Why? Because Jesus' standards and the Pharisee's standards were very different. I want us to understand something tonight. The Pharisee represented religion. Now, I know, according to a lot of people, this is a religious organization. When you come to church, people say, "You are religious." And in a way, I am religious. You are religious. But if this is just religion, if that's all this is for you and I, if this is something that we learn about and something that we know about, and if it's not a relationship between you and Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, it's not real. It is something that you do. A relationship with Jesus is more. Why? Because a relationship with Jesus will change you. A relationship with Jesus will give you purpose. A relationship with Jesus will give you peace in the chaos. A relationship with Jesus will take you from spiritual death to spiritual life. An organization can't do that. Being simply a member can't do that. Is it important to be a member of a local body of believers? Yes. But if that's all you're holding on to, that's all you got. And a membership card isn't enough to get you anywhere with Jesus Christ. It has to be a relationship between you and your Savior. This man was judging Jesus. He spoke this in his heart. He never said it out loud. And yet Jesus knew what he said. And he says in verse 40, Jesus answered and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. Now we get to the parable here in verses 41 through 43. And the parable is simple. We know a parable is a story that Jesus speaks to give a greater meaning, an illustration, if you will. Some parables in the Bible are very hard for you and I to wrap our minds around, but this one, thankfully, is very simple. Jesus said here in verse 41, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. And then Jesus says, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Now, I believe that Simon, the Pharisee, an intelligent man, a smart man, a man who knew the Word of God, he knew what direction Jesus was going here. And he said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. Now, I want to understand what this parable is saying. This parable is simple. Two people owed money to a man. One owed a small amount, one owed a great amount. Neither one could pay. And out of the grace and mercy, this man forgave both debts. And Jesus asked a question. He says, which one should love the man more? The one who forgave the small debt or the one who forgave the large debt? And Simon said, I suppose the one with the greater debt. The parable is simple. Well, let's focus on the application. See, this application is simple. When we are forgiven something, we should be thankful. Now, we know that Jesus used the illustration of money, but he's speaking of much more than money. He's speaking about our sins. And the illustration, the application is when you and I, when we understand we're a sinner, it's kind of like if I didn't know I owed you money, and if you said, hey, that money you owe me, don't worry about it, you know, it's forgiven, I'm going to be thankful, but it's not a big deal. Why? I didn't know about it. But if I owed a debt, and if that debt kept me awake at night, and if that debt was something that I was working extra jobs trying to get a hold of, and if I was changing the way I lived so I could pay that debt, and if I was struggling because of that debt, if I knew of that, and if then you came to me and said, listen, Tyler, you've been working, you've been doing all this stuff, but your debt is paid, don't worry about it. Let me tell you something. I would rejoice. Why? Because I would understand what was taken away from me. The debt. The struggle, the bondage was released. In the same way, you and I, we can say we're thankful for Jesus. We can say we're thankful for the Savior. We can say that we're thankful that someone bled and died for us. But until you and I understand that we are sinners, then guess what? Why does it matter that we have a Savior? Sometimes we expect people who don't understand they're sinners to rejoice over a Savior. Doesn't make sense. You let a person with a medical disease go through remission, and I promise you, you're going to see a celebration. Why? Because they knew what they were saved from. In the same way, when we understand what spiritual sin is, when we understand that sin separates you and I from a perfect and sinless God, when we understand that we, no matter our works, no matter anything we do, cannot get it on our own, and when we understand that that was bought with a price, then we will rejoice because we have a Savior. So what we see here is the application is simple. When we understand what we've been saved from, we should live differently. Jesus here called out this man. He said, listen, when I came into your house, you didn't clean my feet. You didn't greet me with a kiss. You didn't show me anything. But this woman, the woman who was not invited, the woman who did not have the right background, she came to me. She showed me compassion. She showed me worship. Now, Do you think that Simon in his position and his power would ever get on his knees and wash the feet of Jesus? Of course not. Maybe he would hire a servant, but he wouldn't do it. That was beneath him. And yet this woman, understanding what Jesus freed her from spiritually, did not believe anything was beneath her. And she went on her knees and she washed the feet of Jesus. Why? Because she was thankful for what was forgiven. And then we see here in verse 47, Jesus says to Simon, "Therefore I say to you, her sins," this is referring to the woman, "which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Now, I don't want us to miss that, because I don't want anyone to think that there's such a thing as a small sinner. There's not. Sin is sin. All sin is large to God. But here, there's a principle that Jesus is trying to get across. In the eyes of Simon the Pharisee, he was a little sinner, and she was a big sinner. And yet, even Simon could not understand he was a sinner, and he showed nothing. But this woman, whose sins were many, who were known for her sins, did not let that hold her back from her relationship with Jesus. And because of that, her sins were forgiven. The final thing tonight are takeaways. Verse 48 and 50. Jesus is done speaking to Simon, and now he turns his attention back to our focus, which is the woman. He says in verse 48, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Three things I want us to look at briefly. First, only Jesus can forgive our sins. Sometimes we think that we need forgiveness from other people, and in some situations we do. Now, I believe that often forgiveness releases us before it releases other people. But when it comes to spiritual sin, you can't forgive me. Your forgiveness cannot get me to heaven. Your forgiveness cannot get me right before God. Only one person can free me from the debt that I've paid, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who can cleanse our sins. And we see here, when Jesus makes this statement, it might not seem like a big deal to you and I. I mean, we're a part of the church culture. I mean, yeah, Jesus forgives sins. What's the big deal? But when Jesus spoke these words, when he said, "I will forgive you, I have forgiven you," they said, "Who is this? Who is this man who claims to forgive sin?" You and I have to understand that Jesus alone forgive sins. The second thing we see here is that we are saved through our faith in Jesus. Jesus clearly tells this woman that it was her faith that saved her, not her actions. It wasn't the fact that she came and washed the feet of Jesus that saved her, but it was her faith in Jesus that saved her. The works, the actions came because of that faith. But the foundation, the thing that changed her, was that faith. And then the final thing tonight, we can go in peace because of Jesus. I love how this ends. Jesus tells this woman, "Go in peace." Earlier tonight, Woody, during our worship time, talked about how can we have peace in this crazy world. Well, I think about this woman. I think about what this woman must have gone through in her life. I think about a similar situation with the Samaritan woman. About how every time a person saw this woman, they did not think of her, they thought of her reputation. And yet, when Jesus Christ told her, "Your sins are forgiven," that might not be big for us. But think about how freeing that was for her. Think about a woman who felt trapped under the bondage of her sin for so long. Think about how free she must have felt. because she understood this man is the Messiah. This man is my intercessor between me and God. And that man, the one that could hold you responsible, releases you from your sin. And not only does he forgive you, not only does he release you, but then he says, go in peace. Now, church, I know we have struggles. We have hardships in this life. But as believers, we should remember that even though we go through the fire, even though we go through the hardships, even though we are bending through the difficulties of life, as believers in Jesus, we are not forsaken and we are not broken. And the difference, how a person should be able to see a Christian and a non-Christian, is in the hardships of life, you and I, if we are believers in Jesus, there should be a peace about us. Not because we're religious, but because we have been forgiven of our sin. And because we understand, hey, listen, I might have money I owe to the bank. Hey, I might be going through hardships in life. Hey, I might be going through difficulty medically. But no matter what I'm going through, I have peace with God. The question tonight, do you have peace? If you do, then listen to me. That matters more than anything else. But if you don't, then nothing else matters. Jesus told the woman, go in peace. You and I, we should have that same peace in our lives. Amen? Stand with me.